The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
Day, and we've got 3 hours of information for you tonight that in many ways you'll find nowhere else, although I'm going to start with something that I did post, and you probably, in some cases at least, did read it. It has to do with an extinction-level event that's going on. Right now, on this planet, an extinction-level event. That means mass death. How big is the mass part of it? I don't know. But it has to do with what we are going to observe formally for its seventh year in March, and that is the Fukushima Daiichi triple absolute meltdown catastrophe. This is unbelievable. The media won't touch it. Cowards under orders, nothing new. It's the same old crap. The radiation is getting worse. TEPCO is now asking for permission, like they need it, to dump hundreds upon hundreds upon hundreds of tanks full of liquid radioactive death into an already destroyed and dead Northern Pacific Ocean. And it is, i.e. the radiation, now spreading worldwide. Radionuclides that are signature nuclides from the Fukushima event have been found in all seven oceans. And when that happens, you know it's being found in the rain, and it's being dumped on the land, and it's in the water table, and it's in the rivers and the creeks and the streams, and it's in the plants and the trees and the vegetation, and it's in the food that's being raised. You're not going to escape this. And I had a story the other night about people in, what the hell was it? 170 million Americans are drinking radioactive water. And I looked at the map, half expecting to see much of it in the Northwest on the West Coast. No, it was from the Midwest east to the Northeast and the South and the mid-Atlantic coast states. What does that tell you? Where's the radiation coming from? It's coming from the 103 nuclear reactors we have, most of which are in nuclear power plants scattered around this country, that are releasing radiation into the atmosphere 24 hours a day since their inception. Most of these plants are well beyond their designed lifespan.
Hello.
Hello, Dana. Welcome. Let me finish this sentence. And they are absolutely being given a green light by the Nuclear Regulatory Agency to continue working for another 10 and 20 years. We are going to have more Fukushima-grade catastrophes. With us now is my friend Dana Durnford, who is a unique man in this time of extinction-level event. He has put his life on the line more times than I could count, more times than I know about. He is getting ready to take another trip up the British Columbia coast, all the way up to document the absolute death of life all along the coast. And he's got great equipment. We're going to talk about that this hour as well. Hello, Dana. How's your health? How are you feeling? Oh, did we lose him? Let's get him back.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. All right. Welcome back.
Yeah, thank you, Jeff.
Thank you for being here. Dana's going, as I said, off on another journey up and down the British Columbia coast this spring when the weather breaks, and he will be reporting to the world about what we know is going on. But what the world doesn't know, because the mainstream media and the powers that be will not tell anyone. We are, Dana, as I've been saying while we waited to get you on the line here, in an extinction level event, an ELE. Is it going to be thorough, total, absolute? Could be. But what I really made a point about was this story yesterday, the day before, that 170 million Americans are drinking radioactive water. And I thought that the map that they put in the story might show West Coast primary. No, the West Coast was largely devoid of all that many sources. You know where this radiation is coming from. It's coming from all the goddamn radioactive power plants in this country. They're leaking around the clock and have been since they were conceived and put online. These people, 170 million, are drinking radioactive water courtesy of the nuclear power industry in this country. That's where it's coming from. It's also coming from Fukushima. So the stupidity and the outrage continues, just like it did when we first talked and I started covering this 7 years ago this March. It's incredible. So anyway, how's your health? How have you been? Did we lose him again? All right, we did. No, we didn't.
No, we got
him. Okay.
That was my mistake. I didn't push the mute button.
Don't forget that it's that mute button that'll get you every time. Anyway,
I haven't stopped. It's blown gale force winds here all day.
Really?
Yeah, I've been at the boat all day trying to keep it from getting any damage. And we got a 32-foot sailboat, and we have already destroyed. It's an older boat, but it's great shape. But the sails, of course, are vulnerable to heavy winds if they're not.
Oh, you got it. Of course.
Yeah, you got to be at it all the time. So one of my sails got loose. I put new batteries throughout the boat today, three new batteries. And it doesn't need a lot of work or anything like that. I'm out sailing it regularly, just getting the kinks out of it, getting it ready for the long expedition. We'll be going for about 7 months. And because of a sailboat is really slow, because of the wireless, now the way it works, the 4G, I'll be able to have a great connection because I got a high antenna, obviously.
Yeah.
So I'll have a great connection for streaming, and so we'll be doing updates whenever I get to port. So it'll probably take me 3 or 4 hours to get to the town that I see ahead of me. But that means I'll have cell phone range, and so I'll be able to do extended reports.
Oh, fun.
Jeff will be able to update live stream a lot of stuff too, certainly whenever there's. And so it's going to be totally different. We got an underwater RV this time. It's good for up to 20 hours total.
Oh, my. An underwater video RV.
Yeah, it's good for it's 4K. It'll stream that back upstairs for 20 hours if I don't drive it around. It'll drive around for 4 hours and stream it. And then you can take the pictures or the video, et cetera, as you feel at will. You don't have to. Before, we were dragging cameras. Mm-hmm. You know, in good spots, but it was still iffy whether you're going. You had to look at it later that night and see if you got anything worth salvaging. But now we can go down and just hunt through the whole thing.
And this is like a drone underwater, isn't it?
It is, so 100%. It's the real deal. It's not no lightweight. It's the real deal. And we'll have a drone too, I guess. Like you say, it's The last time was insanity and desperation to find out whether it was real or not. And we've covered thousands of headlines before I went on the ocean before I made a decision to go out there. So we flushed it out really well. And we went out because then we had species, birds starving to death, whales starving to death, emaciated, the sea lions and the seals all emaciated. This is like by the tens of thousands. This is unprecedented. And all the seals and sea lions and whales that are out there now are emaciated. And so you know what we, a sea lion, for instance, if you look at it and you see a big wrinkle on its neck, then it's malnourished. It's not supposed to have that wrinkles around its neck. So it's really easy to spot it, yeah. That's a telltale. And so Fukushima hasn't stopped.
No. How many tanks over there now? Do you know? How many of those
1,100.
Tanks?
Yeah, 1,100. 1,000 tons.
And that SOB from TEPCO was asking the other day for formal permission to dump them all.
Yeah. They're at it. They're the same article, the same Reuters showing up in all the medias worldwide over and over and over, like it's never going to go away in order to acclimate people to that. I would imagine they dumped it already. There's nothing to say that because.
We know they've been sneaking it. Sure, they've been dumping it.
I got headlines of the steam coming up out of the ground, cracks in the ground at 4.7 sievers. That's by TEPCO's, so it's probably double that.
Sievers.
4.7, almost 5 sievers, confirmed, several years straight, yeah. And so that's not, you're not going to find the Harvard universities or Yale University professors or MIT alumni or, you know, Oxford students or anybody like this down there working at all, ever, under any circumstances. Nobody in their right mind would go there, obviously. And so the only way to get someone there is to, and you covered it many times, how to get the homeless, the destitute, the victims of society.
Oh, yeah.
And the people don't speak the language.
They've gone through about 40,000 people, I think.
I got the official number was 17 million.
What?
That's their, I covered it last week. That's from the government's website. I don't know. I don't think that's true, of course.
No, that's too many.
That's their official number. Yeah, that's their official number from the government's website. And I covered
they're
it
idiots.
For a while.
They don't know what the hell they're talking about.
Oh, they're just lying. Everybody's just. They got all the other numbers, right? About the bags and the tonnages and all kinds of weird stuff. All of them numbers are right. And so it wasn't like this was a random thing because it's extrapolated on a number of spots on the same page. And so this is the public relations firms who are writing up that stuff for the Japanese. Lake Barrett, people like that, who covered up the Three Mile Island, right? Arne Gunnarsson was sending people upstairs or in the Three Mile Island for 3 minutes. And then they never went to a nuke site for the rest of life. But these were day workers. They probably never went nowhere. That was probably the end of them. If you can only work in a nuclear plant for 3 minutes, then you're getting a deadly dose for sure, right? This is what they done at Chernobyl where they went out with buses and guns and they jacked people off the streets to go into Chernobyl. They done the same thing at Sellafield in England. It was called Windscale when that mixed oxide fuel facility melted down. They went into the theaters and stole people from the back rows of the theaters was one of the things they had done. They never, and these times they never go to another nuclear power plant and get volunteers. They go out and by some weird authority, they're able to jack people and destroy. It's unbelievable that, the whole history is predicated upon that deception and misrepresentation, isn't it? I mean, you've been covering it for 7 years.
I mean, I can't. It is unbelievable. It's absolutely unbelievable. And I do believe that the total is 45,000. That kind of makes sense to me. You round it off, 6 years, 6, 8, you know, 6, 7s are 42, 7,000 employees a year running through the death mill as a Fukushima employee. That kind of makes sense.
Yeah, they said they had 160,000 on the ice wall, but then when you took the money that they had for the ice wall and you divided it in 160,000, everybody made roughly $1,000 or something. And then for the 17 million, if you took the money they located for that, then that worked out to something like $700 per person, and that's not including material. So these exaggerations, these exorbitant, extravagant exaggerations, are meant to pacify people because only the crazies are left in charge. Because we're 7 generations. We're 74 years down the road.
Yes.
And 7 generations of idiots being born to the next generation of idiots. We ended up with this inbreeding in the nuclear industry of just 100% monsters and goblins. It's shocking, really, that I can't find a single journalist, academic, alumni, anybody else on the planet that's willing to have a conversation. Anybody, there's no one out there willing to say it's not like a banana, that it's not like walking in sunshine, nowhere, anywhere, in any university, not a single professor. So, like, and I've been at this for a long time, and you know that, Jeff, of course. And so if I can't find it, it's not out there.
If it absolutely.
Was out there, I would have found it, right?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Absolutely. No, I gave you a pretty good introduction. People know how you've risked your life for all of us so many times and still are. Now, tell me about this sailboat. Why the sailboat rather than so you can live on it?
Right, because I got a lot of new equipment this time. I got a big camera this time, a big Blackmagic camera too, a big 4K. The hardcore real deal, not this is high quality studio quality stuff. And so we're going to get some incredible documentation, no maybes about this. They've got the whole incredible setup ready to go. We're waiting for spring because I took so many beatings, I just can't do it. I can't go out during the weather. I don't have it into me. I'm just burnt out.
Can't imagine why, Dana.
Yeah, no. And I'm just going to go out there for 7 months this time, roughly. I figured it's going to take me and get back before the fall, late fall.
Yeah, who are you taking with you?
I don't see, like, who are you going to get to come on a boat with you for, like, it's so hard to get someone to go for 7 days, let alone 7 months. And
well, maybe you should try to line up people who will sign on for a week here and there.
Right,
pick them up here, pick them up there.
Right,
it's really, educate them. You'll be teaching it, you know, you'll be making... What you're going to do is create teachers, each one who comes on for a week. They'll be able to go back in their communities.
Well, these communities is where I'm hoping to pick them up exactly right. And the whole thing about it is, you know, I've been down this road so many times that I got the gear. I've got everything thought out. We got all the equipment pretty well gathered up, except for odds and ends. And over the next month and a half, 2 months, I'm sure we'll get the rest of that. And that'll be that. Like the sailboat is awesome. It's fine. It can tow the big
Zodiac. Where did you get this boat?
Zodiac.
How'd you find it? Craigslist?
Yeah, Craigslist. I spent a lot of time looking. And I was looking because, you know, I don't have a lot of money. And they bankrupted me when they gave me 6 gig orders. So we had to rebuild everything.
Yes, yes.
And so I found one. They had, Buddy had just bought it for $15,000. But he didn't know what he was doing. Didn't use it. And I got it for about half price six months later.
Good. So how old is this boat?
Well, it's 40 years old. It was owned by an engineer for most of that time. It
fiberglass?
Yeah, beautiful boat, beautiful shape, incredible shape, unbelievable, gorgeous shape.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is just stunning. It was an engineer who owned it, so he really it got everything on it. He done everything to an engineering standard. And he's got diagrams and everything else of everything. So just stunning. I got really super lucky. But it's meant to go take on the Pacific and tow the whole operation. So we got 2 Zodiacs to tow, one for going along. So what the idea generally is going to be, you park the sailboat, put up your beach lines, and then you stay there for a week or two, and then you shoot out in the big Zodiac with the small Zodiac in tow, drop your anchor, and then go ashore with the small Zodiac and the drone and the submergibles, and just redo the whole expeditions again, document everything, get into those communities. So it's because you're using a sailboat, you're not really going to miss much. You're just going to take your time because that's the way it works on a sailboat. It's not very fast.
I understand.
It's the way I'm doing it. And I'm not willing to go in rough weather, right? So because I'm
No, you've done
skits.
That. Yeah, I'll never forget those videos.
Oh, man.
Jeez.
This boat is 11 feet wide, so it's huge wide, tons of room.
Yeah.
And all brand new batteries today, finally.
Is it a motor sailor?
So it's got a diesel engine to it with 21 horsepower. That's all you've ever had in those little engines.
Right.
But they're fine. They're a beautiful engine. It's only got 460 hours original.
Oh, it'll run forever.
Yeah, so the survey was $25,000 on it. And rightfully so, but nobody's going to pay $25,000 without
the extra
work.
Not in this economy.
Without the extra work done to it.
Yeah.
And so I can do that myself, right? And I am, of course. And pretty well, everything is...
Have you sailed, Dana? Have you sailed much in your life? Have you been a sailor?
We've always had a spanker on our boats. And that's a small sail on the back of the boat.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, I have friends of mine sail. No, I wasn't really truly like a hardcore sailor, but I grew up in that environment. And so my dad actually was a sailor. He used to make 75 cents a month on the sailboats. And they would go offshore and they would jump in a little boat and row along in the fog, 120 days a year fog, jig fish, fill up the boat, come back, and they would hoist them back on the sailboat, three mast schooners. And they would make 75 cents a month. And back in those days, I guess 75 cents went a long way, according to the stories. But he done that for about a decade. And so that whole heritage, where I come from, we still have no automobiles originally, right? And so we still don't, of course. And so the ocean is a way of life. It didn't take me no time, of course, because I have all the universities, institutions go snatch all the lectures on rigging and sails and then go out and you know, binge on the sailing community itself through the internet. And it didn't take me long, go out every day. I was out Saturday, Sunday, Monday sailing each day.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, so I'm very competent at this stage right now.
Yeah, but how do you raise these? That's a tall mast. Do they have automatic?
Yeah, I actually do have a tall mast. My sailboat is what you call a tall mast boat. And so you have all the winches are on board, and it's really straightforward.
But are they manual? Are they manual or are they motorized winches?
No, they're manual. Everything's manual. I do everything. I'm up and moving around like you can't. Well, it took like, see, an average person would get injured, and they would probably,
yeah.
If they're able to get back to their own, if they work hard at it, they could be back 3, 4, 5 years and be back up having a normal type of life again, right? But it took me 17 years, and, you know, I'm still not that strong. You can still push me over pretty easy if you tried. But
and not a good idea.
Yeah, but I'm a very careful person, right? And so, and that's just the way it played out. When I lost a wheelchair overboard, I had an option. Do I give up? I did go to like Red Cross trying to find another wheelchair. Couldn't, and I just wouldn't go home. I was too stubborn, and so I started using the sticks. And then I went up and bought a new set of sticks, and I started using sticks to get around. And then one day I stopped using the sticks for little distances, and now I still can't go long distances, but I also have like a little Segway that I use to save distances.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh good. Good. That's kind of a fun thing, isn't it?
It is. I got like 1,300 kilometers on it, and so I'm extremely competent. And I can carry the beak camera, the 10-pounder on my shoulder. I have a harness, a chest harness, a suit that I wear with a robotic arm that holds the camera for me. And so the camera can go 360 around my body on the robotic arm, basically. And it has a stabilizer built into it.
Oh, fun. This guy, you're going to end up with a professionally produced...
It's 100%, yeah.
No, yeah, documentary.
It's all professional. Well, my memory cards is $2,000. And so what I got is the real deal for sure. I'm not going to go play games. I'm going, this is the real thing for me. And I'm going to pull it off for sure. There's no
Well, this needs to be, when you get back, this needs to be produced and you start putting in the film festivals, okay?
Yeah.
Yeah, this is going to be a classic.
Oh, and yeah, this is good. I got like 8,000 green screen graphics, too, on top of that, right?
Oh, so, my. Well,
yeah, so I'm over the top.
When you're up there, we're going to put you on the program here, and we'll do live remotes, and we can do a live streaming video. That'll be fun.
Yeah, we can. So many, many times, and I'll let you know on that. I'm looking forward to that one.
Okay.
So we have a live stream from these islands out there. If there's a cell phone signal... With the system that I'll be using, I'll be able to live stream really high quality with the equipment I've got on purpose is the way we got it set up to do exactly
that. Wow, wonderful. Wonderful.
So you can see in real time, right? Yeah.
Yes, yes. Hold on a minute, Dana, and I will be right back with more. Don't go away. Okay, here we are now doing 25 things at once here during the break. What I want to do, and you've heard Dana explain, he's got a 36-foot sailboat, beautiful boat, very good condition. He's going to make that his expedition home. And if any of you up there in BC are listening right now and would like to go on board for however long he can arrange it, you can put into a port. Some of you will be up there on vacation. You can go off maybe for 4 or 5 days with Dana and learn all about this. That'd be kind of fun. So that's a possibility. I'm not telling everyone what he can, will, or won't do, but it's a possibility. Here's the article. I don't know. Did I send this to you? I think I did send this to you. Yeah.
Yeah,
well,
you did.
Global Research. All right, I'm going to read a little bit from this. Fukushima darkness. Radiation of triple meltdowns felt worldwide, which is what I've been saying, Yoshi's been saying, Dana's been saying. Oops, I'm out of names. Nobody else has been reporting this that I know. And I, year in and year out, we did this. Here's the story. It's fairly well done. The radiation effects of the Fukushima Daiichi nuclear power plant triple meltdowns are felt worldwide, whether lodged in sea life or in humans. It accumulates over time. The impact is now slowly grinding away, only to show its true colors at some unpredictable date in the future. That's how radiation works, slow but assuredly destructive, which serves to identify its risks, meaning one nuclear meltdown has the impact over decades of 1,000 regular industrial accidents, maybe more. It has been 6+ years since the triple 100% nuclear meltdowns occurred at Fukushima Daiichi, March 11, 3/11, 2011. Nowadays, referred to simply as 3/11. Over time, it's easy for the world at large to lose track of the serious implications of the world's largest ever industrial accident, disaster, catastrophe, cataclysm. Out of sight, out of mind seems to work that way. According to the Japanese government and TEPCO, their estimates, decommissioning is a decade-by-decade work in progress, more likely 4 decades at a cost of up to $189 billion. I'm going to stop there for a minute. Dana, that's total BS. Crap. Once again, they can't decommission a destroyed plant. Decommissioning, by definition, infers you're going to decommission a functional plant. This is a destroyed plant, okay? It's wreckage. It's garbage. They don't even know where the hell the fuel rods all went. We know, but they don't. At least they won't admit it. So this is a classic sentence of misdirection, and let's just call it uninformed.
Yeah, uninformed. We get a lot of that all day, every day, nonstop, 7 days a week. It's like unbelievable.
So they're saying it'll cost $189 billion. That's ridiculous. It could cost $1 trillion. They have no idea.
You can't. So decommissioning means you're going to restore it to an area, to a level where you don't need any kind of protective gear on.
Right.
Yeah. And so that's never going to happen. You got to get that China syndrome out of there. So, like, the best way for people to appreciate it would be to think about Chernobyl. And so they had the robots broke down. They sent in the bio robots, which are humans. Rather than call them humans or people, they call them bio robots. Just so people wouldn't, not too many people would work it out. But so they knew they needed robots can deal with high radiation for sure.
Right.
Right. And they didn't bother trying to create one. So that tells you why where their priority is not to create the technology under any circumstances. And then if nuclear wants to do something, they'll get whatever money they want. They want to build a robot to go play with that. They'll get all the money they want. There's like they'll just throw the money at them. Legislation and everything else will show up to keep throwing money at them. But yet they don't take advantage of it. Only in, say, Toshiba tried to build a couple of robots that were exorbitant, but didn't have any functions whatsoever outside of trying to get a picture. And they could get a satellite over it and zoom in and get a picture a lot easier than they can with a robot.
Right, right.
Yeah. And so it's ludicrous that I look, I'm at this 5 days a week hardcore, but I don't stop 7 days a week researching. And I read everything and everybody out there. I can't find a single person out there that's competent and understands the enormity of it that's actually writing articles.
No, they don't know. They've got a little piece here and there, and a lot of that's corrupted. They just don't know.
Sorry. Yeah, they're lost. And if it's easy to fall into the trap. So if somebody says it's like a potato chip, or it's like walking in sunshine, or it's like getting on an airplane, or it's everywhere, or it's good for you, or you get more radiation sleeping next to you, these are the triggers. For 74 years, they told the same lie. So you have seven generations, roughly, of public speakers trying to repeat the same lie that goes back 74 years. And as you go back and look at the 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s films about radiation, you hear those connotations everywhere. And so people, a lot of people, of course, are just brainwashed and truly believe in that, and that is everywhere, it's good for you, etc. But the studies have shown that's not. This stuff here, like, so the stuff from a chain reaction from fission, which is what the humans do, and the sun is fusion. So the elements we use in a chain reaction are from fusion. Uh-huh. But the reactor, which is what the sun is, a nuclear fusion. That what we call a nuclear fission is not a nuclear fission. It only runs at a very tiny percentage. So the reactor is only running at a very – almost ready to run away the entire time. They can't wind it up because it will melt down at around 1,800 degrees. And we don't have these things. But once they go, it's 9,000 degrees. And so the containment can't hold it. Once it leaves the containment, then anything below that, because the containment is meant to hold it. If it gets out of the containment, then nothing else can slow it down or hold it. Now, Unit 3, there was no meltdown. It was a detonation. We lost the inventory, was ejected.
Yeah.
So the tsunami was coming through.
Absolutely. Nanoparticulated, destroyed, ejected. Yeah.
It went straight
blown
up.
Blown to smithereens.
Meters or something like that. So 1 and 2... They appear to be 100% meltdowns. The inventories in the pools at the top of the buildings melted down, went through the reactor itself probably at the same time. So 1 and 2 is gone and down into the earth is my understandings from the documentation that I actually can provide for it. Unit 3, even though they're out there saying Unit 2 is the one that everybody ran away from, that's ludicrous. Unit 2 stayed intact. They ran away from number 3 because they went everywhere. And Unit 4, of course, went off like a firecracker. And so that inventory was blown out. And the reactor core was stored in the pools at the top of the buildings. The top of the building was long gone. And then we see the apologists out there showing beautiful symmetrical buildings that they claim they're inside of.
Oh, man, that makes me sick.
Right. Yeah. And so 1 and 2, or 3 and 4 were detonated and spread all over the area out into the ocean and miles away. The explosion for number 3 was felt 25 miles away by an AP reporter, right?
This was an atomic bomb is what it was, all right?
Right. At the top of the buildings was decades of reactor cores. And they're just as volatile as the reactor core itself that is currently in the reactors.
They may be even more deadly after they're
right.
run down.
Actually, they are. Because once you go through a chain reaction, they're 2 million times more volatile than what they were before that.
Wow.
And a lot of this was reclaimed uranium, plutonium from missiles and silos and fuel, where they reclaimed the hot particles and put it in what they call turning it into a breeder reactor, mixed oxide fuel. That detonated. So that thing was 2 million times worse than any current reactor on the planet. This is why we're seeing the extinction event. And it is an extinction event. Right, Jeff? Like, we've covered this extensively. The current people that are listening, I'm not sure how to explain it.
Look on the right side of the homepage. Look under the Fukushima label. There's a heading right there. Read about the birds. Read about the bugs. Read about the reports coming in from all over the country. Fewer and fewer birds, if any, are left. No bugs. We've been through this before. The nature is quite clear in what has happened. There's no obfuscation. The bugs are gone. The birds are gone. I don't see any. I hardly ever see birds here anymore, and not even many ducks. Remember, the ducks they eat bugs. The bugs are gone. The bugs got radioactive accumulation, and they're gone. The geese are still here because they eat the grass. Now, we're not getting too much heavy downpour, so the rains that come and the grasses that grow aren't as radioactive as they were the first couple of years. So the geese are able to eke out a living. They're still here. They're healthy and they're looking pretty good. Let me read just a little bit more of this. Okay. The Secrecy Act, sharply criticized by the Japanese Federation of Bar Associations, is a shameless act of buttoned-up totalitarianism at the very moment when citizens need and in fact require transparency about this disaster. The current status, according to M. Okamura, a TEPCO manager, as of November 2017, quote, "We're struggling with four problems." Now, listen carefully. Number one, reducing the radiation at the site, stopping the influx of groundwater, retrieving the spent fuel rods, and four, removing the molten nuclear fuel. No bigger lies and misrepresentations of reality have I ever seen in four simple phrases in one sentence. Let's take it from the beginning. Four problems. One, reducing the radiation at the site. How in the hell are they going to do that? It can't be done.
They just came out with a new video from TEPCO's official site, and what they're doing is Reactor 3, and they're claiming that the fuel pool is there. They have reporters looking down at the fuel pool that actually doesn't even exist.
Gone.
And yeah, it's gone. And so these, you can't get on top of the building, and if you put a cover over the top of the building, you can't go in it. This is just common sense for anybody, like an adult for sure, I would hope. But they're actually, yeah, and the media ran out with it a couple of weeks ago and showed it. I come out and bludgeoned them for it. And there, 2 days ago, their official video was showing the same thing. They were also showing a perfect symmetrical uniform pool in that video as an update too. And so their lying is not going to slow down or stop. The Olympics is coming.
No, and two of the events, the venues are right there in Radiation Land. How smart. Oh, yeah.
They picked up 30 million one-ton bags, so anybody who goes there is going to get it.
Yeah, yep. Number two, stopping the influx of groundwater, and I'll add, that is running underneath the wrecked, destroyed plant through the corium, the radioactive spent fuel rods that have melted down and are down there, maybe 100, 200 feet deep by now, stopping the groundwater influx. How are they going to do that? Answer, ain't going to happen.
Every time it rains and every time it snows on top of that, they have to pour water over the reactor core constantly, continuously, in order to try to cool where they think the core is to. And then they have wells, what they call wells, dug around the site where they pump up wherever water pulls up. But they don't know where the water went, and for sure. So they pour water down on the reactors themselves, not what they call the melted reactor core, corium. So this stuff evaporates, but on the flip side, you got steam coming out of cracks in the grounds where the earth is cracked at 4.7 sievers. This is a sniper round. This is a lethal dose, 100% lethal doses. You might not die today, but you will die in the very near future, within weeks at the most.
Correct.
Usually.
Yeah,
if you only just there for a few moments. Stay there for 40 minutes, you're going to be dead that day. Right there in 40 minutes.
All right. Now let me jump in. I'm going to get through this. Number three. Says Mr. Okamura of TEPCO, retrieving the spent fuel rods. How can he say that with a straight face when there are no spent fuel rods to retrieve? They've melted down into a morass called corium, if they're even in any kind of recognizable clumping, under one and two. And three, they were blown to nanoparticulates all over hell and back. So how are they going to retrieve spent fuel rods? Another lie. Go ahead, Dana.
No, just the fuel rods were the inventories, and there was around 5 million pounds per building. And Chernobyl, for starters, those reactors, they needed a million gallons a minute, just 4,500 tons of water a minute.
24/7, 24/7, 365.
1,440 minutes a day.
Yeah.
They need a million gallons a minute, which is 4,500 tons. And if you go look at the reports, they're talking about 300 tons a day. And so this is insanity, because that's how much water they're throwing down on top of that to stop it from re-criticalities. And then they're mixing harsh chemicals, everything else. It's only the homeless, once again, the destitute that we know that are working there.
They're cleaning the streets, folks, of their...
If Harvard was there, we'd see video after video of Harvard. If Yale was there, we'd see video after video of Yale. If Berkeley was there, we'd see video after video after video from Berkeley. Right? You know what I mean? And the list goes on. And so they're not there, for sure. Or they'd be out there, look at me, I'm cool. And they're not doing it.
Yeah. Now, Mr. Right? Okamura also says... Of the four problems, he says, we're struggling with four problems. Four, removing the molten nuclear fuel. Is this guy on this planet? Is he insane? No, he's lying. He's being paid to lie. This is another grotesque lie. You're not going to remove the molten nuclear fuel. It isn't going to happen.
And... They can't find it if they find
it. You know where the hell it is. You're going to dig down, what, 200-300 feet looking for it?
They can't find it. They could find it if you wanted to. I can show you videos of activists chasing the nuclear ships offshore that are going to dump the stuff, and they got their Geiger counters, and the Geiger counters are maxing out because of the gamma showing the X-rays and neutrons. And so if it was there close to the surface anywhere, within 100 feet of the surface, because there'd be a hole there, then the gamma shine, the X-rays, and neutrons. Now, when it melted down, it splattered stuff also everywhere. And just a gram of this stuff is deadly. So a few pounds of it, say,
one splattered. Gram.
Now, there's 5 million pounds per building. So say there's 100,000 pounds got splattered around, and the rest of it melted down into the earth. Well, that means you can never, because of the gamma shine, the X-rays, and neutrons, you can never, ever, ever, yeah, and a gram. You know, it's so powerful. It's 1,000,000 watts. It's incredible, right? 1,000,001 watt light bulbs. It's inconceivable.
1,000,000 watts from 1 gram. Wow.
Right. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. And so the atoms of a natural gram of, say, potassium would be about 160,000, what they call emitters, but they're not actually emitters. You can't make a dirty bomb. But with nuclear, it would be 78 times 84 billion. So 77 times 84 billion is how many atoms are in a gram of man-made. And each of these atoms can give you an illness, a disease, autoimmune injury, like Alzheimer's or dementia, autism. Cancer's the last one to show up, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
I got a lot of people lately telling me about their sons and their families getting bone cancer.
I'm so sick about this.
It's
mass murder. It's genocide. Our government's responsible because it has not warned people. And there are things that can be done, but they're not being done. I'll mention again BioSuperfood, created by Dr. Michael Kuriak after the Chernobyl disaster, and he helped save hundreds of thousands of lives with this product, BioSuperfood. It's at the top of Rents. Go look for the banner and click on it, BioSuperfood. Please do yourself and your family. This is the best thing you can do. Another supplement to take is curcumin. Extremely important. Don't forget about it. All right, here's the last I'm going to read. In short, says the article, nothing much has changed in nearly 7 years at the plant facilities, even though tens of thousands of workers have combed the Fukushima countryside, washing down structures, removing topsoil, and storing this topsoil, radioactive topsoil, in large black plastic bags, which end to end would extend from Tokyo to Denver, Colorado, and back again. Get it?
I done the math on it. 30 million bags at 6 feet by 6 feet, so 6 feet wide, say, end to end is 35,000 miles. So it's around the planet and halfway almost again.
It is. It does circumvent the planet.
If you put it in the back of a pickup truck, each one, it's 5 rows of traffic, bumper to bumper around the planet. So one-ton bag and a one-ton truck.
See, they're lying. This writer doesn't know what the real figures are. It's not his fault.
Even that number is horrifying, what they're saying, right? Even that number is terrifying.
Of course.
Right? That's 100% terrifying. But the truth is so much more, as usual. It's just, like, literally just scares me every day when I read these people. And because you're getting these little tidbits, you got to go verify the tidbits, make sure it's real. And just like, wow. so many goblins on the planet trying to just destroy. It's just a handful of corporations doing it to the entire planet, isn't it?
Yes, you know? It is. That's right.
Out of control. I guess that's... I'm going to have to head down and check on the boat.
Okay, Dana, thank you. Listen, there is no higher, not that I give a damn about awards, but there is no higher award for bravery and service to humanity than is suitable to be given to Dana Durnford. He deserves whatever they have and then some. Take care, my friend. I'll talk to you soon. Let me know what I can do to help. All right, I'm always here for you.
I will, Jeff. Hugs for everybody. Take care, folks.
Good night. Good night, Dan. All right, there's your update on Fukushima. We'll do it again with Yoshi in March or before that. Okay. It's not good. It's not good. I'm sorry. I don't like bad news, but I'm not going to lie to you. Never have, never will. All right? Be right back.